And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
We've seen them attack them, and there's Brandon! Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do!
Tyler Wani scores! And the sticky ground goes ballistic!
He's through here! And in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it!
Yeah! Forrest Dale, Premier
League! Hello, and welcome to this, what was meant to be a preview edition of Red Side of the Trent, as we look ahead to our match of Everton, which will commence fairly shortly. But for now, I'm joined by Reece Lane, and we feel it would be remiss not to comment on the recent news about season tickets and the prices or season cards for the more modern term, and the gigantic price increase, really, which has, by all accounts, gone down like a lead balloon, and rightfully so, with many fans feeling like they're a commodity, they're not feeling, they're feeling like, you know, customers rather than supporters. And it's, you know, it's a bit bleak, really. It's causing division at a time where unity is needed, I think is the key phrase, but it's entirely a mess of the club's making. And yeah, Reece, I mean, it's just awful, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, you scroll for an entire line and it's just like, you know, using fans who they can't afford to do it anymore, because the colossal rise of 24%. It's not even a slight increase. Average rise of 24%. And it's, you know, it's just not good, isn't it? Like, by all accounts.
No. As we're about to discuss on the cusp of a big game, no, it's not ideal. You know, I was working down south yesterday, so I was pretty flat out. And then by the time I got to my hotel last night, I had a chance to have a glance and stuff on that on social media, and it's just pure anarchy. Wanted people arguing with one another, and it's still going on now. I've just had a look now, and I mean, with the Premier League, I think the price rise was, the reality is a price rise, I think, was always going to happen. I think you'd have to be, you know, a bit nonsensical to think that was going to happen, whether you agree with that or not. You know, nobody likes a price rise. Everyone likes to grumble at a price rise. That's just life. You know, I do like the German way of thinking of football. You know, I think it was Bayern Munich's chairman said, you know, what's another couple of million to us? It's something you'd argue about in a transfer. But, you know, in England, we don't have that way of thinking, I'd say, across the board of the country, personally. You know, I'll give you an example. I went to watch Union Berlin a few weeks back, who were in the Bundesliga, been in the Champions League this season. That a ticket for their game was €18, which works out probably, what, about 15 quid. And yeah, when obviously you compare and contrast like that, I know it isn't, people say it's not the same standard, which is fair enough. But like you said, Christian, it's just the sheer percentage for some fans of volume. I mean, they made a mistake last season by taking that age bracket out. With no warning, really. I think if they'd have produced some warning and then done maybe, you know, a rise throughout a few seasons, possibly. I know some fans will say that's tough, but you've also got to think as well that these fans who do have season tickets now, the ones who back the club during COVID, a lot of them would have let the money keep the club, keep their money during COVID. And for their sins, there was all the ones who renewed when Chris Hughton was stinking the place out. So, yeah, you don't really want them alienating. The statement from the club, I thought, was poor, personally. I mean, the emphasis was clearly on us being in the Prem, and at the moment, that is far from a certainty. You know, there's no other price plan if we do drop into the Championship, where with the prices they have produced, I'd imagine it'd be one of the most expensive tickets in that league, to be honest. You know, we all want to think positively, but you've also got to think realistically as well. And then the kind of following up with a typical PR about the safe standing, which is a good thing. But when it's so soon after, it's never going to be seen as that way. And, you know, the PR from the club has been a problem, really, because, you know, and why there is a lot of backlash, because you get this kind of, you know, we're in this together, what Marinakis Jr. likes to put up. You know, this football should be for everybody, when we've had the points deducted and the council are trying to rise prices, which we weren't happy about as a club. And then we're kind of hiking up the prices up and happy to sell to the highest bidder. And then, you know, then we're strangely telling fans how many others are on a waiting list. You know, whether that's true or not, if that's the volume. And I mean, I'm sure that number would drop considerably if we was to drop into the Championship, for example. And then, you know, then the atmosphere is going to suffer, which they love to bang on about as a result. So, you know, I've just put in loads of notes down here because there was that much to bloody talk about. I mean, the last pretty, to sum up, I mean, as well, we all know the clubs need to make revenue, but as well, like people have said, it doesn't sit well when the club's turning down a shirt sponsor last season. We didn't have a sleeve sponsor last season. And then they're also handing out contracts to the likes of Shelby, Harry Arter, Origi this season, who've been on huge wages and had fast little impact. You know, this is them type of signings are the reason why we're in this mess, because we've had 4 points deducted. I mean, the Forza statement I thought was really good. It was all in from them guys. And I know, having been friends with a few from Forza, how many hoops they have to jump through to get these displays on, which take a lot of time and effort and fan-funded money as well. You know, I've helped on the display for the Everton game this season, which was then royally messed up by the club not playing Mullaghkintyre. So, I mean, there's quite a few ideas muted about, you know, protesting and stuff. And, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that, because we all want to support the team in this time. But unless you want to sit there and have your backside smacked, it's, you know, sometimes you got to break a few eggs to make an omelette, unfortunately. I'm hoping it doesn't come to that. And, you know, there's some better dialogue between the fan groups and the club, and, you know, something is hopefully resolved. You know, what do you think about it, mate?
I think it's just awful. I felt the social post last night, I mean, at best incredibly naive, at worst incredibly cynical, because you're basically sort of like, you know, threatening people by saying if you don't take it, one of 11,000 will. And I just thought that was so wrong. This isn't like, you know, this is where like so much goes wrong, because you can't compare football to just day-to-day life where it comes to like your shopping, for example. Like, for example, if you go to, say, like Sainsbury's and you get charged, say, like, I don't know, £4 some chicken, for example, like Tesco, it's £3. You go to Tesco, don't you? Football isn't like that, because your club is your club. And unfortunately, it just feels like that's been preyed upon. Like, you know, I thought that threat was really, really poor last night. That's the way it came across to me anyway. It was sort of like, you know, don't take it, someone will have it for you. And I just thought that's really wrong. Like, you know, like you said, touched upon earlier, these are fans who have been through the bad times. These are fans who gave their money to the club during COVID rather than after it back, when so many other people could have done it. Like, and in the grand scheme of things, it's £3 million. Like, had there been an increase, I think, like you said, you're right at the top of what you said, like, had the increase been like, say, I don't know, 50 quid per season ticket, I don't think people would have complained too much if we stayed, even regardless what league we're in, really. I mean, obviously, no one likes the price rise, but especially if we stay up, I think a £50 increase wouldn't have been unfair. What was 3 million to the club? Like, so you 3 million to the club, and that's before, like, look at that. Well, you have to remember that's renewal prices. That's not even for the ones that are going to come in, for the ones who can't stay. Like, and then you've got membership will likely go up, tickets will likely go up, but for what? Like, if the club ran properly in terms of recruitment, if we despite our deduction was sitting in 12th and we knew we'd go Premier League football next season, I don't think it would be taken as badly. But no. They're acting like we're still fine, like we're not safe yet. We might not be. So it just reeks of complacency. It reeks of like taking fans for granted. And like, we're not meant to be treated as numbers. We're meant to be treated as supporters.
Well, just for example, like that waiting list is £10 a throw. They've apparently got 11,000 on it. So that's 110 grand. You know, that don't pay Origi. I'm sorry to use Origi for this, but don't even pay his wages. Yeah. Don't even pay his wages for a week. You know what I mean? So this is like, I seen Kieran Maguire yesterday saying that I think one in every £7 was basically the tickets from a club in the Premier League. So I get they've got to make revenue, but the problem with Forest is well, they literally thrive upon the PR of how good the fans are, how good Mullah Kintyre is, how good the displays is. And then they're kind of, in the next breath, willing to sacrifice that because, you know, and to be fair, I know you haven't got a season ticket, Christian, and you do more miles than most. And there'll be a lot of genuine fans on that waiting list. But as well, there'll just be some fans on there who are probably from Nottingham, support Man United, support Liverpool, and think, yeah, I'll go and watch Forest because I can go and watch Premier League.
That's the big concern, isn't it? Like, how is this waiting this season? They've got like waiting list. Like, is it going to be hot luck? I mean, obviously, I'm on it as a pro member, I'm on it. But like, am I going to be? I don't know. I don't know how they've done it. But I mean, it's just a massive mess. I feel like the club made a massive goal. I think it's good that the media take into account, and that includes, you know, Telegraph, The Athletic, everyone else. Like, they've right, and Henry Winter, obviously now he's gone solo since bizarrely being made like redundant at Telegraph. Like, you know, it's just so much wrong. I mean, Carl's just put in a comment there, actually, just one thing to mention. You know, if you're an 18-year-old sat in, like, say, C block at main stands, your ticket's gone up from £190 to £850. Yeah.
Without
like,
the warning as well. Isn't
it? Like, that's just how you meant, like, people, it's just ridiculous. And, like, again, it just brings out the most, like, rancid sort of, like, crowns in the fan base. Oh, you know, stop going to Costa Coffee. I'll get another job. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, okay, cool. Like, the classic all right jacks all come out and they're the ones watching at home on the fire. They're the ones in the waiting card list praying. It's just like, it just causes, like, you know, animosity between the fan base. And, like, I just don't think it's good at all. Like, it's just been handled so, so badly.
That's what it's such a shame, isn't it? Like I say, we don't really need this animosity when we're about to embark on the business end of the season.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, just a shame.
But as normal, I mean, we do it well, obviously. We'll do the jingle. Great, we'll do the jingle. We do have some slept on it thoughts for you, which literally I've slept on it thoughts for once. sort of go through just some of your thoughts on, you know, what's gone on.
Red side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
Right, so just for you to go through. So, Deck Parson said, I'm lucky that I have to pay £570, but the fact there's no youth prices for up to 18, 23, 25 and no student prices is horrific. The fact an 18-year-old student might have to fork out £850 for Championship football is mind-blowing. They should hang their heads in shame. Sam says, we'll try and keep it short. The price increases over the last two seasons are outrageous. It makes a little difference to the club's finances. It makes a massive difference to supporters, with many being able to have to tell their children they can't afford to take them, which is just horrible to hear. The removal of the 18 and 20 price bracket is obscene. How people in uni just starting are being expected to pay the same as adults have been working for a number of years is just ridiculous. Yet again, another age group being priced out of watching Forest. Finally, the last two posts on Forest social media so tone deaf, like basically saying can't afford to use his ticket, which is pouring it off some tourists who could afford it. No reward for loyalty. It's very bitter taste in my mouth. It's hard to argue that. Like, playing devil's advocate, is this not just a result of being out the EPL for 23 years? We've all been used to cheap-ish tickets. This is always going to happen if we stay up a few seasons, but getting rid of the 18-25 bracket was a misstep. Ian Russell says we should not have reduced the youth section, especially if we cut it last season. I've checked a few clubs and they're up to 21 or 24. You are a long-time supporter, so what's a couple of years discount? K-plus it functions as if you thought pieces, dodgy keepers, the EPL's PSI, the PGMOL, we're going to be the hits that hurt the most this season. Tongue twister there. Well, there's no separate fan model, fan ownership model like the Bundesliga. Marinakis could pretty much do what he likes. Martin Fretwell says, big own goal from a club. Feels like loyalty only works one way. The working class being moved on for the plastic tourist money. It's sort of entirely understandable why people come in. Thank you all, of course, yeah, for coming to comment. It's entirely understandable why I come to this conclusion. And like, you know, you just think, no, obviously, we're fairly lucky we're Premier League now. But like, you can't just bank on loyalty. Like, if you're a kid coming through, for example, and you live in Nottingham, if you can't go and watch Forest or it's too expensive for you to go, you're not going to support them, are you?
No, like, you're either going to watch football on telly or go and support the likes of Notts County. Now, obviously, Mansfield's gone up a league, so
yeah,
I think
or like one of the Sky Six,
yeah. I mean, with the age bracket thing, I mean, there is some people who saying, "Oh, when you're 18, you're an adult," which is I get that point, but it kind of gives you some preparedness, which is what I mentioned earlier, where you don't straight away have it took away. And you're going from that, like that jump you said, Christian, from 180 to £800. You've kind of got them few years grace where you think down the line, well, you know, I had that when I was a senior to get older. It got to a point where, you know, them happy days of paying that price were coming to an end. But at least you could kind of prepare and you knew what was going to happen.
That's it. Isn't that you just rock up like a 17-year-old? You're about to like finish your A levels, whatever, and you go, "Oh, by the way, mate, it's just fine. You got a month, by the way, if that, a few weeks to find £600-700, otherwise you can't watch Forest next season. They just want to move." And like that's another thing as well. Like, the thing is, where you sit. Obviously, I've been a season ticket holder before, and like where you sit at the grounds, like. It's not just so much watching Forest, the people you watch it with or the people you watch around. Like, you strike up conversations with people at half time, you get to know the people around you, they become like a sort of mini family in a sense, because you see them every week or whatever else. So it makes a whole part going. Even if they annoy you, even if it's like, say, one person in front of you that, like, you know, bangs on that player that you can't stand or vice versa. Like, it's all part of the experience, still part of the charm. And to have basically say to someone, either fork out X amount or move, it just seems a bit wrong. Like, the whole thing just seems so badly handled. And like, we've been told time and time again, like, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot, like, with the ownership that we can go into. And obviously, ultimately, you have to be fairly grateful for what they've offered, because, you know, without their input, we wouldn't be a Premier League club. But they just make so many naive mistakes along the way, which I think is corrected, which is a little common sense. And this just feels like another one, sadly.
Yeah, it's just a shame as well, like reading out some of the Slept On It comments. Like, for example, you know, you're on that waiting list, Christian, and I know for a fact you aren't one of these what would be described as a tourist fan. And it's just kind of and you're now being, you know, put in that category. It's just kind of turning fans against one another. You know, we had all this last season, and like the first season of the Premier League with the memberships, and yeah, it's... Yeah, it's just such a shame. Like I said, you know, this is all the talk ahead of what's a crucial game for us on Sunday.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, and that's I think that's what's so annoying. Again, like, you just, like, you know, we've just seen this team get smacked 6-0 in complete disarray. We've just gone, you know what, we'll match that. We'll equally go into it with like complete fan discontent. And yeah, I mean, we are going to be joined by an Everton fan fairly shortly. I've been informed that he's strong to log on, apparently, but it's typical, the stuff. he's very much on here. It's the one we had before, which is Jay from Pellet Blues podcast, which would be good. But yeah, it's just just flashing back to what you mentioned earlier, like the outcry when the club were being asked to charge, were being asked to pay four times more for something, and they're asking fans to pay five times more for something, and that's apparently okay.
Yeah, this is like, that's when it kind of don't sit well, don't it? Like, this is what I mean, like, with the PR and stuff. It's just a nasty place to be at the minute on, like, social media when you're reading it all and fans are at one another, and you've even got some vastly kind fans willing to put the hand in their own pocket for other fans because they're saying they can't afford to take one of the kids, for example, I've seen, so, which is a lovely touch. Right.
But that's what I mean.
When it's coming to that, it's a shame. It's kind of a shame in the same breath, really.
I think that's obviously I saw someone say like that is a true myth of like Forest on and off the pitch chant because like we do have that sort of generosity, but people shouldn't be doing that. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's an incredibly noble gesture, but yeah. What I mean is people shouldn't be in a position where they should be feeling obliged to help other people out because they've been shafted by a club that they love. Like, we all want the same thing. We want Forest to do well. It doesn't matter whether we argue about the club, we argue about players, we have different views, whatever else. Ultimately, our main goal supporting this football club is we want the best for it. And to see people being like fleeced, basically, it's just a really bad taste in the mouth. And like, I don't know, I don't really. It's yeah, I mean, not good. It's just really not good. But we are thankfully now after some technical issues, joined by Jay. Jay, how you doing, buddy? You all right?
I'm all right. Meet you.
Hi, mate. You okay?
Yes, thank you. Thanks again for coming on ahead of what is a massive game for both clubs. I suppose I should ask, have you recovered from Monday night yet, or are you still a bit of morning?
Yeah, listen, you've got to recover very fast as an Evertonian, so you still have to get used to recovering within 24 hours, but it's about Sunday, mate. It's whether they've recovered, I suppose.
Yeah. How are you feeling sort of going into the games, obviously, for both clubs now? I mean, I guess seeing... I didn't expect that game Everton come away with the same goal difference as Forest basically going into Sunday. I think that's, you know, a massive bit of armour sort of tipped away, really. How are you sort of feeling going into the game? Is it very much a must win or a must not lose for you?
I think, obviously, so like Monday night, when the third goes in, you're sort of hoping the players on the pitch sort of realise that and go, listen, we've got a better goal difference than everybody else. Just sit in. If we nick one, it's only two. At very worst, it's going to be three. To just watch them completely lose everything, you know, leadership, everything. It was like they scored the seventh goal. When you finished, it was like it was 7-0. It was just like, oh. Sunday is a must win, purely for the fact that we're at home. I think if we were away from home, it's a bit different, but no disrespect to yourselves, and you're probably thinking the exact same thing. You've got to beat the teams in and around you. You can't sort of leave any sort of points on the table when they're all there up for grabs.
Well, that's been half our problem this season. Is, you know, we drew with Luton at home, which we completely chucked away. We drew with Luton away, which we completely chucked away. We drew with Burnley at home. We lost away at Brentford. We lost to you at home. We drew with Brentford at home. So them other teams all around us so far, the only one we've actually beat is Sheffield United at home. We've obviously got yourselves, Burnley and Sheffield United, to play. I mean, my question would be, you know, Sean Dyche is kind of this perceived in the media as this firefighter manager. You know, he come in and kept you up last season. But this season, I think, is it 1 in 16 now you've won? Am I right?
1 in 15, yeah.
1 in 15, sorry. I know you've got your money problems. That do you still think he's the right man for the job?
It's so hard. I think it's the question on everyone's lips as an Evertonian. He'll get us through the end of the season, and then a decision is to be made in the summer. I would probably say 80%, 85% of Evertonians would like to see him gone in the summer. Really? Listen, you can't go on a run of 1 in 15 games and keep your job. He's very, very, you know, you idolised Steve Cooper. You know, he brought you into the champion, into the Premier League, into the promised land, and it comes a financial business decision in the end and go, listen, we need to stay up. As much as we love him, we've got to stay up. So we don't even have that connection with Sean Dyche. We don't. We haven't had that connection, God knows, and probably about David Moyes, but it would be easy to get rid of him, if that makes sense. It'd be like, I know you can look outside looking and go, and Everton another manager, but again, Benitez got sacked for the same run, so did Frank Lampard. He can't be sort of become inevitable. He can't become unsackable because there's no one to sack him, if that makes sense.
Do you think if he was more stable off the pitch with like the money wise, you think he would have been sacked by now?
He'd have gone. Probably, I reckon he'd probably have gone about 4 or 5 games ago, yeah.
Do you think it's a bit... I know, obviously, it's not an ideal world and we don't have the points that we've been taking off. But do you know, on one hand, it's sort of like, okay, it's like a sort of like, is your glass half full or half empty? Because I suppose on the one hand, he's taking you to 35 points again, I think he'd be about 13th, if I'm right saying, I think, without his deductions, something like that. But on the other hand, like you said, you can't really afford to kind of run that poorly, because I guess in a normal environment, you'd be looking at, like some of the Wolves are now, you're sort of thinking, okay, top half. And obviously, you don't want it to sort of fizzle out like it has done. But so are you, I guess, are you sort of in a sort of glass half full, half empty camp, or are you sort of fully sure?
I think he has been unlucky, I've got to be honest. I think he's been an unlucky manager as well. You know, to play sort of devil's advocate, you've got to look at that and go, he has had a points deduction twice in a season. You know, imagine managing that. He's got no boardroom above him. You know, he's got absolutely, he doesn't know who the owner is or if he's got any finances and there's somebody can't plan for it. But ultimately, you can go back to, we got a 10-point deduction and went on a 4-game winning streak. We played Tottenham away, and at that point, the deduction happened. We'd been given 10 points taken off us. This is before, obviously, the four got given back. And we were 7 points clear of Luton. You know, after the deduction. So where's it fell off? This is the same players. These are the same team. You know, to be honest, we never had really a fully fit firing Donovan Calvert-Lewin. I know we scored a couple of goals against Brentford, but wasn't really on anything sort of form-wise. It's just that dip. I've got to be honest. No one can put the finger on it, because it's like, well, you've got... And before the deduction, we beat Palace away. We beat West Ham away. You know, I think we've had some good results on the road. I think we beat Bournemouth 3-0 at home, and everyone was a bit like, oh, hang on, you know, this is it. And for some reason, it just sort of went Bournemouth there, Everton there, and it just went like that, instead of the other way. And that's down to the manager. That's down to the players, but the manager, ultimately, the buck stops with him.
I mean, what have you made of the whole, you know, PSR thing with yourselves and the deduction for, two deductions for you, and also from an Everton perspective, what do you make of Forest's deduction in this as well?
Yeah, it was obviously the 10 points happened, and we have spoke about that. And then we were seeing you've been charged and we'd been charged as well. So it was always like, well, with what we got, they got type thing. Then when you got a 4-point deduction, I messaged Christine and was like, what? I was just like, how? And then he explained it to me. Basically, we got two offers because we were nice about it. So I think then when Everton's second charge come in, you sort of set the precedent and went, that's how you sort of do it. Because we went, all right, well, we'll just do what they did. Go dead nice about it. Send brilliant emails, you know, work alongside. And we got two. The Premier League recommended Everton this season lose 17 points. That was what the recommendation to the independent commission were. The first one was 10, which they did. Then they had to give us four back. And then it recommended 8 for the second charge. 8, they recommended. They recommended 5. They recommended 12 for the first charge and 5 for the second. 17 points. Sorry.
I was going to say, like, me and Reese have spoken before about this. I think we said, like, you know, the penalty for total financial implosion of administration is 9 points. Yeah. They've tried to hit you of nearly double that. I just find that staggering. I really
it's just
do,
like they're putting the hand in a lottery basket, and it's like a lucky dip kind of thing, isn't it, really?
100%. My biggest sort of gripe with the Premier League, and listen, I'll come on the show and I'm pretty sure you're the same. Everton Football Club broke the rules. Simple as that. They deserve to be punished. Everton Football Club broke the rules. The rules were in place and they didn't follow them. That's fine. You break the rules, you'd be punished. The points deduction I don't agree with, yourselves and us. And I think if, you know, even if the likes of Burnley and stuff, Brighton get a points deduction, yeah, it's easy to laugh at the club that gets it and go, you know, this, that and the other. But ultimately, it's the fans that feel the points deduction. It's the fan. Well, we're sat here now with a nine-point game. And really, Everton have 8 points on them. Luton have Forest have 4. We're not really bothered, are we? You know, we're a bit like, Luton are gone. They are. Yeah. You just go, well, Luton are gone. This is just a battle for a couple of million quid in the Premier League table. I just don't agree with points deduction at all. I just think that they're so wrong for the like the tops. The Super Six happened, and it was like, or the Super League. don't punish the fans, is what they said. Don't punish the fans, is what they said. And it's like, well, you're doing it now. And it's not even the fans' fault, this one.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, I think what doesn't sit well with me as well is, like, I'd say it us and Everton are kind of similar clubs in the sense that they want to be ambitious and progress themselves up the league. And like for us, for example, we come up out of the Championship, we had a skeleton squad. We'll be honest, because the recruitment in the Championship wasn't good enough at times, hence why we had loads of loans, we had players out of contract, etc., etc. But we then came up and then could only lose, you know, I think it was 44 million less than yourselves and the other clubs. You know, how is that like fair competition? And if we was allowed to lose as much as, I'm sorry to use Everton as an example, as much as you guys, we wouldn't have broke FFP. So, of course, you know, it's meant, it should be a fair playing field. And like you said, Jay, I mean, the rules are the rules, we get it, but the rules are so broken. And, you know, it's just such a shame that we're getting to the business end of the season and we still don't know if we'll get points back. And we still don't know. And we're basically in a relegation battle at the end of the season because, like you said, we've all had points deducted off us. Otherwise, we'd probably be rocking up Sunday between us both and shaking hands for a nice point.
Yeah, just a game of football. The bottom three settled and we're done. And I think it's just the Premier League is so, we've used the word corrupt. I would say personally it is, just due to the fact of you look at the Cartel Six, even Gary Neville called them on the overlap. They are the Cartel Six. It's as simple as that. Don't get me wrong. We'd love to be a part of it. So would you. So would any other football club that aren't in it. But ultimately, you've got to have a fair playing field. Now, look at Sheffield United. They knew they couldn't spend any money when they come up. What if you're an Ipswich or a Leeds, or no, not Leeds, an example, or Coventry, are you looking at the Premier League going, well, what are we actually meant to do when we get there? You know, are we meant to just be making up the numbers now and go, oh, it'd be great to play United away and City away and stuff like that and go to the other place across the park from us for a day out? That's what it's going to become. They're going to use that as a day out and go, well, it's a day out because we can't really compete anymore because we've been told we can't.
It is a worry. I mean, like, the way it felt to me, and obviously it's changed now, but like, it just felt like if you were promoted, like, you could only really be like, I said it's very, I've got a few Palace mates, but a team like Palace, you don't do anything, you don't trouble anyone, you just sit there in about 13th every season, not really. And they might get the odd scout, they might have the odd cup run here and there, although that hasn't happened for a few years at Palace, really. But they sort of want you out of trouble, not do anything, or you go further down. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're all saying, like, I've seen like the Athletic did like a sort of a midterm report, and they gave Luton an A, and it was like, you know, Luton might not get 30 points this season, and they're talking that as a massive achievement. It's like, how? Like, there's one season in Premier League history which getting 29 points will keep you afloat, and that was when Fulham sunk the place out a few years ago with Scott Parker in charge. You know, by and large, it just seems so bizarre that, like, you know, again,
I can probably answer that because I've been beating this drum all season. Now, listen, Luton, in my opinion, before the ball was kicked, was finishing 20th. I probably would say that was the same as everybody else. We all thought sort of Burnley would give a bit, put a bit of a fight up. Now, Luton, for all this mighty glory that they've had a team being taken 8 points off them. They've had a team taken 4 points off them, and they're still in the bottom three.
Yeah.
And I think it's this mad media sort of thing where they'll be winning for 25 minutes against Tottenham away, or they'll be beating Bournemouth 3-0 at half-time. Oh, look at Luton, you know, Luton are this, Luton are that. Not to go on about Luton, listen, they are putting up a little bit of a fight, but they get beat in these games. Ultimately, they get beat. It doesn't matter if you win it for 15, 20 minutes and it looks great on FootMob or whatever it is, but you're getting beat in games. I'd rather be winning 1-0 and win the game 1-0 and not worry about we had XG of this amount.
I mean, we've said it between us. I mean, the media would absolutely adore Luton to stay up because it's a great story, as they would with your friends across Stanley Park winning the league, which the irrelevant club Christians just mentioned kind of helped stop on the weekend. But Luton, it just, and the Premier League can say, look, Luton's come up, they've spent no money, and look, they've stayed up against all the odds, and next season they can go down bottom with 15 points. But moving on to, like, yourselves on the field, you know, I'm not going to mention, as Christian did, the result from the other night, but I'm just looking. I did watch the game, unfortunately, with the predicament win, wanting Chelsea to win. But I think you've picked up a few injuries from that. There was no Calvert-Lewin in the squad. I think Branthwaite went off with a hamstring injury. So what's the status like for the weekend?
Well, Dominic Calvert-Lewin apparently has been rested, basically, for Sunday. Not, you know, it's not impossible in the realms of football, is it, that he's gone, listen, it's Chelsea away, that's just, it's Sean Dyche, it's got Sean Dyche wrote all over it that he's probably gone. I've got a massive week coming up, we play yourselves, Liverpool on Wednesday and Brentford at home on the Saturday. He's probably thinking, I think he was feeling something. I don't think he was not fully injured. I do think he was feeling something, but he's probably thought, stay out of this one and be ready for Forest and maybe Liverpool and Brentford. Because I'll be honest, I don't think Calvert-Lewin can do three games in a week. He might prove me wrong, but I think he's probably thought, if I can get two out of you, I want them to be Brentford and Nottingham Forest. Jared Branthwaite, just minor. I think he's probably looked at the scoreboard and seen it was 4-0, felt something and gone, yeah, I'm going off.
Done a Bukayo Saka then.
Yeah, a little. Not, I wouldn't say about his character, because listen, Jared Branthwaite is a fantastic footballer and he's our best player. And some of the games he's had, the Burnley game, he was my man of the match. He just stood up and was counted for. But a lot's been asked for that kid this season, and it can take its toll on the legs as well. You know, you look at Bukayo Saka and he's probably feeling the same thing. But I think Jared Branthwaite is just a minor thing. I think he'll be available for Sunday.
That is some week for you as well, isn't it? Us, Liverpool and Brentford all at home and Saturday to Saturday.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Welcome to Everton Football Club.
I suppose one thing, actually, I know, obviously, it just occurs to me, actually, I've got a few Everton people I follow on Twitter. And one person who seems to be a very sort of constant debate is Onana in midfield. And I know, I think there's a few Everton fans who sort of seem to think that, you know, it always sort of went wrong when he casually struck up that penalty and just passed it to the goalkeeper at Fulham. But he always seems to be quite maligned when Everton play. It's sort of like, I saw someone say that maybe he's not suited to a team in the bottom, but then surely he'd expect players of that calibre to shine in a worse team, if that makes sense. So how do you sort of see the whole Onana debate? Because obviously we've got something fairly similar of Sangare, although he's not really playing at present. But what is your sort of take on the whole Onana situation?
It's hard, to be honest, Chris. It's Onana, for me, it will be a Bosch player, just not on an Everton shirt. He shows flashes in games where you're like... This is a mad analogy, but I'll just put it this way. He's like a Pogba. He's like a player where you're looking at and going, you've got so much potential, but you're having these like games where you like go 5 weeks of like 6 out of 10, 6 out, then you do an 8, and then you go 4, and three. Chelsea stunk the bridge. He's absolutely stunk the bridge out. You know, that Cole Palmer, I think he's still probably trying to chase him around London now. I think, you know, and Evertonians, I'm sure that we'll get on to, are quite, we can see it. We've had so many bad players over the over years, but we've had so many good ones as well. James Rodriguez, Arteta, Kale. We know when a player is, one, given everything for the club, and two, has got it. Amadou Inanna can't do both. He can't give it. He either gives everything to the shirt and runs around and is like, oh, tackling brilliant, or he just absolutely bottoms out and you don't see him. And you're like, and the sub board comes up and goes Inanna off, and you think, oh my God, was he actually playing? You know, I don't think as well, and this is a boy probably that you know well, he can't play with James Garner. In my opinion, I think they're two quite similar players. They both want to pick the ball up and turn, and they both want to sort of start attacks and start and pick pockets up. They seem like they're standing on each other's feet massively all the time, and I think James Garner suffers from that as well. But I don't know. I say this, he'll go and score at Attrick on Sunday and he'll be lauded as a hero.
Yeah, we kind of had this a few games ago against Palace at home, where we started Yates and Sangare in that middle, who were both kind of defensive destroyer type of midfielders, and it just didn't work to a point where, you know, some of our crowd even turned on Sangare and he got dragged off at half-time. Someone who I will talk about, because having watched Everton a few times this season, what do you make to your backup striker, really, in Beto?
Thanks for that, Reese.
Or is it just me watching it? But I'm not saying anything because I know it'll come back to haunt me.
Got to call Beto goal. What's happening?
I think it's the same as Mateta at Palace, and he scored past us. So.
Yeah. Where do we start with Beto? God love him. tries his hardest, runs his socks off. It's not good enough, though. It's just not. You're number nine for Everton Football Club. Well, you're the centre forward. You've got to be better. You've just got to be better. You've got to be better on the ball. You know, when the ball goes into him, it sort of seems to bounce off him. Listen, I give him a lot of slack because he has come from Udinese. It is a brand new league for him. You know, he's playing under a manager who isn't the most attacking of managers. So really, you know, you like Chris Wood and these, you know, I forget the guy who played for Burnley for all them years. I think he's at Ipswich now or somewhere.
So Rodriguez. He was there for quite a while.
Ashley Barnes.
You know, these type of players.
Norwich.
Yeah, you're playing flashes, don't they? You play in moments. Beto can't play in moments. I'd really, listen, we'd love to love him because he runs around, doing all this with his arms and stuff, but ultimately, mate, put the ball in the net. That's all we care about.
Fair enough. I think I saw that at Udinese, I think I saw some of your fans again sort of debating about it. I think it was Udinese, he had like a strike partner with him. He played in the two up front, and that probably helped the dynamic. I mean, we've noticed, again, speaking of Chris Woods, different system, different players. The way we were playing with Cooper didn't suit Woods' game at all, but we've changed shape slightly, and now suddenly he's more than boot contender. But where do you sort of think, like, obviously Everton's strengths, as we all know, theoretically a Dyche team will be very good at set pieces. Well, so that's a main Forest weakness as well, so like every corner you see the away fans just sort of hide behind their seats. But where do you sort of think that, from your perspective, that Forest might actually get a bit of joy out of Everton if possible?
It's a hard one. Probably, you know, you like Callum Hudson-Odoi's, these type of players, these creative midfielders sort of. You know, I'll be honest, it really does depend what Everton turn up. I honestly believe that. You know, what midfield he sort of plays. Because set pieces, we're good at. We're not so good at scoring from open play. We're not. But then yous are. And yous can't defend set pieces. So it's just like, it's just going to be one of them mad games. It's either going to be like a 0-0 or a 5-4 or something. Yeah. You know, it can be. But yeah, you know, you're seeing Cole Palmer on Monday. He's a fantastic footballer, by the way. But he was just everywhere and no one could get near him. And it was like, I'll be honest, that's one thing I did take from the Chelsea game. I was a bit like, listen, that can't happen again. And I think that's what Dyche will be saying. That Gibbs White for yourselves, do not let him get anywhere near the freedom that he thinks he's about to get. Because that's what Palmer had, so much freedom. And I think that is it. If we give Gibbs White the freedom, Callum Hudson-Odoi the freedom, we could be in trouble.
I mean, what have you... I'm not sure how many times you've kind of watched us this season, but first of all, what did you make of the game at ours? I mean, that was soon after the first deduction, wasn't it? And also, what have you made of Forest as a whole this season when you've seen us?
The game at yours was a reaction. Obviously, we got beat by Man United 3-0 immediately after deduction.
Yeah, they're gone, actually.
That just sucked the life out of Goodison.
Yeah, that was one in a million, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then we went to yourselves and it was a reaction, but we were quite good away from home at that time. I didn't even know, we'd beat West Ham, we'd beat Palace, we'd beat Brentford, we beat Aston Villa in the League Cup, away from home. So we were a bit like, you know what, yeah, away from home, okay. We seen the reaction. James Garner, I think, had the best game I've seen him have in an Everton shirt.
Yeah, brilliant that night.
Dwight McNeil scores a brilliant goal, and then they just sit in. They showed fight, if I'm honest, Reece. That was the time where we all sort of thought, bit of fight here, bit of fight in this football team, bit of fight in these players. You know, these aren't just going to take this 10-point deduction lying down. And you know, I look back now and think, that was in the middle of December. It seems like it was 4 years ago that when we beat yous. Forest this season, bit of a mad one, because I thought you, I'll be honest, I don't think you sacked Cooper. I think you sacked him far too early, in my opinion. I think he was going to get you out of it. I don't think he'd be where you are now, because I don't think that Nuno, no disrespect to him, knows how to sort of do this. And I think if someone was to say to me, what advantage do you think you've got over Forest to stay up, is the fact that we've got Dyche, and I know you have been here before, but this is a different generation that have been here before. With yourselves, we have. This is like my bread and butter now, as an Evertonian, trying to keep the team up. So, can Nuno do it? The players and yourselves haven't got the experience of doing it. I just didn't think he'd be in this position. When we spoke, I think me and you spoke, didn't we, Christine? We was like, you know, we'll sort of just pull away from the bottom three, and it'll just be okay, 12th, 13th and all that. And it's just like us have just gone boom, 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 boom. It's like, is the deduction hanging over these two clubs a major factor?
I think it, obviously, we've sort of raised it. I mean, I think neither Forest or Everton won in the 3 months, or 4 months in your case, from like charge to...
Thanks for that.
Conviction, sorry. But like, it's quite, because my mate was saying, oh, you can't just be like, no, you can't use it as an excuse. But I was like, well, it's happened to Everton as well. They aren't winning games either. Because the way I saw it is like, we'd be winning games. I was not saying that you shouldn't be doing it, obviously, whatever. But like, I don't think it's a coincidence, since we've been given our 4 points and have some clarity, our results have actually improved from before and after. And I think over the last 5 games or 6 games, I think we've like only lost one in the Spurs, I think. Just drawn a lot. But I don't think it's any real coincidence that, I mean, it'd be so demoralising for a player knowing that you could win a game of football and it might mean nothing. Like, it's just like, okay, like, it's like when you sort of beat Burnley, for example, and how that sort of turned into a basic point. Yeah. Like, it's like, oh, we've won, but we actually won. Okay, they haven't gained on us, but we've already gained a point clear of them as well. It must be such a weird headspace for football to be in. And I think it has definitely an impact on both clubs, for sure.
Yeah, I know Paul Lynch was speaking on TalkSport, weren't he, about his days at Reading. And he said the same, you know, he go in the dressing room after a win and you could feel it around the club that it was like, well, as Christian, you've just said, what was it for? Does it matter? And that probably does. Now, listen, at the end of the day, these are professional footballers. He's a professional football manager. He's just got to win football matches and these have got to put the ball in the net. It's as simple as that. You know, you break it down in layman terms, that is exactly what they've got to do. The rest of that stuff, they shouldn't really be worried about when they enter the pitch. What I mean is, when they go past that white line, I don't want Dwight McNeil thinking about a points deduction. I just don't.
No, I'd be able to spend that, yeah.
You know, when they're on that training pitch, for me, he shouldn't be thinking of anything but what the manager's telling them, and the manager shouldn't be thinking of anything of how can I beat Forest, Brentford, Liverpool.
I mean, for me personally, I think you kind of got to use that as a, you know, to get everyone kind of more together, as you guys did. You know, you came to us that night, and I thought you just outfought us. I mean, we were absolutely terrible, but we just went down with a whimper. And you know, it's two sides with respect to you guys who are close to the bottom of the league.
Yeah,
and we just got outfought by ourselves, and you deserved to win on the night. I know we had a penalty shot that night, and people were complaining about that. But I said, you know, we're not showing enough in 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, me and Christian were talking earlier. We beat Chelsea, I think it was the 1st or 2nd of September. And we was about, I know it was early days then, but it was about 8th or 9th then. We just signed a load of new players on deadline day, and we all thought, yeah, we'll you know, we didn't think we were going to be top half or anything. We thought, yeah, we'll probably be 14th, 13th, something like that. The bottom three as they are now will probably go down. We'll be clear. We'll have our cigars on at this time of the season. But like, as you say, Jay, for us, it's just been kind of bumping down that road. And, you know, the problem for us and the reason why we are, well, if we do go down, is we just can't defend set pieces. I know we've added the deduction as well, which is a major part, but continuously throughout the season, we've conceded the most goals from set pieces, and that's a problem. I mean, what would your predicted lineup be from an Everton perspective for Sunday?
Predicted lineup? Yeah, probably Pickford. Coleman come off injured, so did Patterson. So we haven't heard anything of them yet. I know Patterson definitely probably won't be playing. Coleman, he's a bit unsure about Dice, he said. Godfrey, if you know, he's probably the only one fit. Especially with the speed of Callum Hudson-Odoi as well. Tarkowski, Branthwaite, if he's there, I'd imagine he is. Please God, no Michael Keane. And Mikhailenko. Me personally, Idrissa Gueye, Gomez, Doucouré, and then I would go Harrison, McNeil, and Calvert-Lewin. Or I could probably take Doucouré out for Danjuma.
Who do you think Dyche will go for in that middle?
In the middle? Yeah, Sean Dyche, I'd probably say he'd go for Michael Keane, Andy Lonergan, and no,
who's he got? Yeah, trying to think of a Burnley store
and Beto, probably in centre mid. I think he'll probably stick with Onana. I'd like to see a reaction from Onana. At Goodison as well, I think he'll probably go Onana, Idrissa Gueye, and Abdoulaye Doucouré because he keeps sticking with Doucouré, but he's off the boil. But as I say, it's on us, lads, if I'm honest, on Sunday. It's on us as fans. And listen, I don't know whether you've ever been to Goodison. And I heard a clip and I said to Christine about your mate saying about we do. But it's very rare. Honestly, it's mad because you only capture glimpses of it and you get sent round everywhere. And it's like this, you know, perception that Everton boot throughout the game. We don't. And I'm not being funny, but who doesn't? You know, if you're watching your football team get beat, I've seen Liverpool fans booing them. Liverpool fans, they've got, like, what you do to swap with them in the position they're in, and they're booing because what they're watching isn't good enough for their standard. I don't think you'll see any of that on Sunday. I think even if you used to go 1-0 up, I think, what I can see on Everton Twitter is it's going to be a bit of a bear pit sort of, make sure that these know we're right behind them again and make sure it starts now.
Yeah, I'm expecting, because, you know, this is not disrespectful to you. I came last season to Goodison, but it was early days of the season, and I don't think you guys really took to Lampard. I got the sense from the crowd of that, and I was expecting a bit more atmosphere-wise, personally. So, but this time, I am expecting it to be the typical kind of Goodison you get on the TV, and, you know, our fans have got to be behind us as well. You know, me and Christian are going. Another lad who's on the pod, he's going. So, I mean, I am looking forward to it, but on the flip side, I'm not. So,
no, yeah, it is. Monday night, obviously, it's easy to just check it in and go, I'm not interested no more. But, and you do it. You, listen, you know, we'll get beat 6-0 by Chelsea live on telly in front of everyone. you sort of just go, I'm sick of them, this, that, and the other. But you wake up in the morning, you know, you look over your bed, you look, you know, you're picking your Everton mug out of you for your coffee, and you just fall in love again. And you just go, right, okay, let's go for it. And I think that is sort of the atmosphere around the Everton fans now is, let's go for it. We're not bothered about the manager. We're not really that bothered about the players. We've just got to get each other and drag this football club over the line again.
Have you got anything else to add, Christian?
I'll just go off for score prediction.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
And also, who's going to go, who is going to be the bottom three?
Oh, that's terrible. You can't be saying that. Score prediction. I'm going to go 2-1 Everton. Just purely through set pieces, Calvert-Lewin being back as well. A reaction, lads. A reaction. It's got to be a reaction. We've just been beat 6-0, as I say. You're in front of Goodison. With no disrespect to yourselves, you'd be thinking on the reverse fixture if it was at the City Ground. You'd be thinking reaction with a team that you should be beating or you can beat. So, got to be a reaction. Couple of set pieces. Tarkowski's due a goal. Brandwaite hasn't scored this season at Goodison. He has scored against Tottenham, sorry. But Ben Godfrey's never scored for Everton. Sorry, just to throw that in. Ben
Godfrey's going to be better. We all know it's going to be better.
Especially from a guard corner, I'm telling you now. James Garner's put an absolute rocket onto Beto's head, and that'll be it. Bang.
You'll know where I sit anyway, because if Beto scores in the 97th minute, the winner, you'll see me run on the pitch from wherever I'm sitting. Now, truthfully, it's such a mad game to call. It is. It's so hard. I'm going to stick to 2-1 Everton.
What about your bottom three then?
I'm going to go Sheffield United, Burnley. You can change them if you want, but I don't think it matters. And Luton. I think the two of us have got... I keep hearing this thing I said before about Luton. Oh, they've got this, they've got that. They're still in the bottom three. It's an unprecedented two teams have points deduction and they're still in the bottom three. And possibly if we win, you win by a good amount of points as well. You know, we after we play Brentford, realistically, they could be, Luton could be 4 or 5 points away from the bottom, from both of us with our points deduction. So,
we'll take that. I think Luton.
Don't ask me about the rest. Don't ask me.
I was going to say who's going to win the league, but it's not going to be Liverpool. I detest Liverpool as much as you, mate. Trust me. So
who's going to win the league?
Who's going to be then?
I think the Monster. Yeah,
hopefully it'll be City, and everyone will go home and say, "Well, we're not really too arsed about them, so no. We'll have a happy life."
You want to live with them, mate? You want to live in the same city as them?
I love Liverpool as a city. Me and my partner's coming up on the Saturday because one of his favourite restaurants is in Liverpool, and it's such a lovely city. It's just them. I mean, look at us when we lost to them at home. I'm not sure how you would have felt about that, but we literally, obviously losing to them in the 97th minute and just literally none walking out of ground. So, yeah.
Do you know how I felt about that? Nothing, because that's exactly what they've done. That is what Liverpool do for years. When I watched Istanbul and... Gerrard scored in the FA Cup final and all these
Origi against Barcelona.
The Origi against us. You're just like,
yeah.
What more? You can't do nothing. You know, it's just can't do nothing.
Just to mention to you, Origi's not scored in the league for us. So, you know, imagine that 1-1 Beto for you and Origi for us. That'd be
so wow. I can't believe you just said that. I'm not going to sleep tonight. Oh my God.
Thank you for coming on, mate.
We will be back on Monday night to discuss the Everton game, and we'll find out our opinion on there as well, so we might even get a point back despite losing, who knows, but we'll see what happens. Obviously a lot of football to be played between now and then, but until then, come on you.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.